In Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore, Sir Joseph recalls how he achieved his great success.
I grew so rich that I was sent by a pocket borough into Parliament. I always voted at my party's core, and I never thought of thinking for myself at all.
I always voted at my party's call. But actually, the Brits try to stave off party partisanship by appointing a non-partisan speaker in the House of Commons. If a member of a party becomes speaker, he or she quits that party. Would that work here? Recent speakers, Nancy Pelosi and Newt Gingrich come to mind, said that boosting their party was their goal. Would it work to have someone like Colin Powell or an independent college president speaker? It's just one of the ideas that former Republican Congressman Mickey Edwards outlines in his new book, The Parties Versus the People, How to Turn Republicans and Democrats into Americans. Edwards represented the Oklahoma City area for 16 years. Today, he's the co-founder of a group called No Labels. They work for bipartisan solutions, everything from changing the nominating process to getting both parties to use the same podium in Congress. And Congressman Edwards joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. Start with the nominating. You say, take away the rights of the parties to control access to the ballot. Change the primaries, which you say have become sort of the tail wagging the dog. Why?
We have a system now in the primaries where very small percentages of the population can go to the polls, and if somebody wins that primary, any other person in their party who ran in that primary is not allowed to be on the ballot in November.
Well, and further, you say that this is allowing fringe elements in the parties to win those primaries. Why?
Well, it's doing it because, for example, in the state of Delaware, they had a primary for the U.S. Senate. Only 30,000 people in a state of a million voted for Christine O'Donnell, but that meant that Mike Castle could not be on the ballot. In Utah, only 3,500 people in a state of 3 million showed up at a primary. They did not nominate the incumbent Senator Robert Bennett. He could not be on the ballot in November.
But some would say, you know, Christine O'Donnell would say, hey, I had the backing. What is it about the primaries? Why does it become uber partisan?
Who shows up in the primaries? It's the people who are the most loyal to the party, who whoever gets the most votes gets to be the nominee. And because there is no provision that, you know, the results of the primary work only if a certain number of people have voted, that is not at all representative of what the general population is.
But as you know, because you raise it, the criticism of getting rid of those primaries and making what you're calling for an open primary, which some states have, so that every valid candidate could be on the ballot, or even just completely restructuring it so that maybe the top two winners of a primary could be on the ballot. In other words, changing it in some way. People say that a lot of voters are looking for these cues from their party. They sort of, you know, you pick it for me and then I'll just vote on the party line.
It's insulting to say to voters that you are not intelligent enough to know how to vote unless the parties tell you.
You say the most egregious example of that mindset came early in the Obama administration. The Justice Department intervened. They overthrew a referendum in Kinston, North Carolina. Voters in that local election joined the state's other communities in conducting nonpartisan local elections. So this is a local election. And the Justice Department concluded that the African-Americans in the town needed to know which candidates were Democrats in order to have the necessary information for casting their vote.
Terribly insulting. People have to be given the choice. You know, I want this person. I don't care what party label this person wears. I want to vote based on his or her integrity, policies. The people can make those choices.
Which states have chosen these sort of open primaries, and how's it going?
Washington State adopted this in 2006. California adopted it in 2010, where every single eligible candidate is listed on the same ballot, maybe three Republicans, maybe two Democrats, maybe a Libertarian, maybe Green Party, whatever. They're all on the ballot, and every single registered voter in that state can vote in that race. If nobody gets over 50%, then the top two will run against each other.
Okay, we're going to move on to your other suggestions because you have so many, but listeners, weigh in at hereandnow.org. Let's move on to redistricting. This is the process of redrawing boundaries for legislative districts. The party in power in a state legislature gets to control this. So they draw districts that give their candidates an edge, no matter how ridiculous the puzzle piece looks on a map. You say that the problem here is that You don't get the person who actually knows the constituency.
I represented Oklahoma City, it's a large city in the middle of Oklahoma. I'm a complete city dude. You know, I've always lived in cities. And because I was a Republican who won in a heavily Democratic district, the state legislature, then controlled by Democrats, and by the way, I'll say Republicans are just as bad, the legislature redrew my district into one that was a big upside-down L from the middle of Oklahoma all the way up to the Kansas border, halfway across to Arkansas. Well, here's what happened. I could not adequately represent the interest now of all the wheat farmers and cattle ranchers and small town merchants with whom I had no familiarity, but who were now in my district, and I was supposed to be their champion in Washington. How did that happen? It happened for one reason. It happened because the political party that controlled the legislature was able to draw these districts for its own partisan advantage. It should not be up to these clubs. The parties are private clubs that are only going after their own power. They should not be able to take away from all these people in Oklahoma or in other states the right to be represented by somebody who understands them. Why do we allow that to happen? Why have we given these political parties that kind of control over our political system and our system of government?
Well, you say instead it should be a redistricting, a nonpartisan independent redistricting commission, but that was tried in Arizona, and as you remind us, Governor Jan Brewer exercised her authority to impeach the head of that independent commission. She said they had gross misconduct. And in response, USA Today wrote, her action raises the question of whether Arizona or any other state can completely remove politics from redistricting. Can't a partisan governor just say to an independent commissioner, you're out?
Well, when you set up the system, about 13 states now have these independent nonpartisan commissions. You don't have to give the governor the power to remove or appoint people to it. They have to have complete independence, and you can draw the state laws that way. A lot of these are done by the voters themselves through initiative petition, you know, where they change the rules of the game and they take away the part from the party leaders the ability to make those decisions.
Yeah. That's former Republican Congressman Mickey Edwards. His new book, The Parties Versus the People, it's how to lessen party power. We'll have more of his ideas in 1 minute here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Mickey Edwards, former Republican congressman from Oklahoma. His new book is The Parties Versus the People, How to Turn Republicans and Democrats into Americans. His suggestions are open primaries and independent commissions to redraw congressional districts. And in governing, Congressman Edwards suggests a nonpartisan Speaker of the House, which Britain has. And Mickey, you say the U.S. Constitution doesn't require that the Speaker of the House be a member of Congress. So having lawmakers pick a nonpartisan, say a college professor, could take us back to the days when there really was bipartisanship.
We have actually had a time in the past when on issues like Medicare or Social Security, and even, you know, something like, people forget this, the federal highway system, we had overwhelming bipartisan majorities because even though people had different views, they were able to talk to each other and sit down and work it out and find an area to compromise. A lot of that got lost when Jim Wright was the speaker and he started prohibiting people in the other party from offering amendments or bringing up bills. But it really reached its peak with Newt Gingrich, who really turned it into a nonstop party warfare battle all the time. One of the things I talk about in my book is that the first four presidents, George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, a lot of things they didn't agree on, but one thing they all agreed on, don't create political parties. And what they meant by that was don't create the kind of permanent factions that are with each other all the time on everything that we have now. And Newt Gingrich had a lot to do with taking us to that point. So he's one of the villains of this piece, but he's not the only one.
Well, as you say, Nancy Pelosi has stated that her goal is to get more Democrats into Congress as opposed to compromising in Congress. She said that. But how do you change it? I mean, how do you introduce, let's say, a Colin Powell, who some might see as a more moderate? Who gets to pick the speaker, if not the majority party? How do you change it?
All of this eventually goes back to the American people and what they will put up with and what they will demand. So that when we looked at states like Washington State and California that went to the open primaries and nonpartisan redistricting, they did that with initiative petitions. They came up with a bill They got the signatures, they put it on the ballot, and they got it done over the objections of both political parties. 24 states have initiative petitions, other states have referenda. But this part about changing it internally, about how you go to a nonpartisan speaker and nonpartisan committee staff and nonpartisan, where you're not giving people committee assignments because they're going to stick with the party, that requires all of your listeners to show up at the neighborhood and town meetings when their senators and representatives are back home and just demand a change and let them know that if you're sticking with your party, if that's your criteria, you're being evaluated by how loyal you are to your team. And many, you know, many members of Congress vote 90, 95% of the time with their team. Then the voters have to say, well, then we're going to get somebody else. We want somebody who's going to use their mind. We want somebody who's going to consider our point of view, not somebody who's working for the team.
And some of your suggestions that people might want to force on Congress, ensure that every committee has a chair from the majority and a vice chair from the minority parties. Seats should be filled by lot or by seniority as opposed to by doing favors. What else would you want to see changed?
We now have it set up where any meeting that you go to, if there's a speaker, there is one lectern in the middle that the speaker stands at. In Congress, there's a separate lectern for the Republicans, separate one for the Democrats, separate cloak rooms to go have soup or make phone calls. You've got to break that down. It's as though you went to see a shrink because you were having trouble at home, and the shrink said, I'll tell you what, why don't you two sit in separate couches facing in different directions, watching different TVs and never talk to each other? So it doesn't work that way. We've got to find a way to make people in Congress see themselves as Americans.
So you say work longer weeks, share podiums, don't allow signing of pledges. The White House should eliminate the one-party White House strategy sessions.
I took a pledge. I held up my hand. I stood on the House floor, and I held up my hand, and I took a pledge to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the only pledge you ought to take, because if you are making a commitment to somebody who gave money to your campaign or somebody who demands that you support their position on a certain policy or, you know, whatever, you are selling out your pledge to work for the best interests of America and to uphold the Constitution. You know, that's the only loyalty you should take with you.
Change the filibuster system. It just goes, the list goes on and on. Even things like make Election Day a national holiday in the middle of the week so people don't turn it into a three-day weekend.
I think there are other ways. You know, just have the elections maybe spread out over two or three days, have them on weekends, have the polls open for longer hours, be able to vote anywhere in the constituency instead of in your home precinct. There are a lot of ways to make it easier for people to vote.
That's Mickey Edwards. His new book is The Parties Versus the People, How to Turn Republicans and Democrats into Americans, ideas about changing the election process and changing governing to make it just less gridlocked and partisan. So, Don Quixote, you know, tilting at a lot of windmills here. I'm sure you have people saying to you, those are great ideas. But any sense that there's movement towards change?
Yeah, I actually sometimes when I'm asked that, I just say, look, the revolution has already begun. That's when I point to the number of people who are choosing not to be members of either political party. And that's not just in Massachusetts or in California. It's all over the country that people are opting out of being a part of a political club. They may lean one way or another. They may be more inclined toward the Democrats or the Republicans, but they don't feel committed, obligated to support a political party anymore. At some point, you have to be able to sit down and say, okay, I got as much as I can get. I didn't lose as much as I thought I might lose. Let's find an area to compromise so we can make sure that we can get ammunition to our troops, so that we make sure that the bridges don't fall down. We can make sure that we can pay our national debts. We have to function as a government, as a country. My allegiance is to the United States. It's not to one political party or the other.
Mickey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin. Glad to be with you.
And again, you can read an excerpt of Mickey's book and express your opinion at hereandnow.org. Do you think it's possible to tinker with the political machine? If, say, unelected independents are brought into Congress, is that still government by the people? They're not elected. Hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio. We'd love to hear from you. The latest news is next, Here and Now.